Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, girls. Yeah, good morning, girls. I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I'm finding out we got a lot of girls that are watching us. A lot of them. Ran into a couple last night that are watching the show every day. And Rhonda, God bless you, man. Others out there, I'm catching emails from them. And you know, it's pretty cool. I don't know if they're doing this on purpose. And I really don't have a policy on it. But they're just kind of letting the men go. And they're kind of sitting back and watching and sucking it all up here as well. I'm in the bathroom. What can I say? I'm in the bathroom here in the Marriott Hotel in Knoxville, Tennessee. Make a presentation here today at Hear the Watchman Conference. My sweet little wife never gets a chance to get any rest, and she's over in the other room. I thought, where can I go? Well, this is a nice big restroom. I could close the door and not disturb her. So that's why I'm in. I'm not going to flush the toilet or anything in here or run any showers. So we'll all be good. Pray that our signal holds up. And boy, we have a full queue. Now listen, I don't have my phone with me. You can't call in. Sorry. My home phone doesn't work when I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, you understand that one. And then my old dollar store glasses, they used to be black. I was looking at this. See these? They used to be black. Now they're white. All the paint's peeling off. This is the best pair of dollar store glasses I've ever had. I'm going on like 2 years on these things. Amazing. So even changing colors on me. So everything doing okay? My echo? Somebody said something over here about an echo. All right here? Everybody cool? Good.
No, it's all good. Hey, Coach, can you pull your power?
Oh, yeah, sure can. Thanks. All good here, folks. Man, listen, I'm busy. I got so much I want to talk about. I got some reaction. I didn't get any pushback yet. I thought maybe I'd get some pushback yesterday when I was talking about Galatians 3, which we'll get it up here in a minute. That a couple things. Remember, not all Israel's Israel, right? And they warned us of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Warned us twice in the book of Revelation about a false religious system. And I believe that we've been deceived into believing the fact that the Jews are special people, and they're not. They're not. See, I run a danger even by saying that. We're so programmed not to say anything bad about the Jews. I could say something bad about the Germans. I could say something bad about the Baptists. I could say something bad about the Lutherans. I could say something bad about the Ethiopians. Boy, you're not allowed to say anything bad about the Jews. They call you anti-Semitic. And if you missed it yesterday, we found out that Semite, the word Semite, means the descendants of Shem, which I'm going to talk about that today. And it's a group of people. It's not just the Jews. And then it was really funny because Jared went in there and he pulled up anti-Semitic. And what did it come up? It came up a made-up word. Anti-Semitic is a made-up word that means hatred of the Jews. We saw that yesterday. If you didn't catch it, I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, just right off the bat, I'm going to say I don't hate women. I don't hate children. I don't hate blacks. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate. Who else am I supposed to say I don't hate? Huh? Are we allowed in America today to just talk about the truth without it sounding like hate? That's where I got, whoops, I don't have it on. Truth sounds like hate. Truth sounds like hate. Well, we are in a hate-free zone, but a truth-free zone right here at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt. And man, glad to have Steve Menking with us. Steve's going to share with us big thing coming down economically. But I want to show you something here. Jared, I didn't even give you a chance to do this, brother. I'm sorry. I sent you, Jared, a link there about Flip, I think is what it says on it. It says Flip. And Jared, this is our buddy Flip Benham. Listen, we love the manly gospel, don't we? Don't we love that manly gospel? Well, our buddy Flip was at it again. He was at, we watched him last week when we played it last week, and he went in and rebuked the queen. There in the queen lesbian there in Charlotte told them that blood was going to curse up and down the streets. You know what happened? Slip went back again. He went back again. And he told me that they weren't going to let him speak again because they were having, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that stuff was going on down there. The room was filled with they thought it would be antagonistic. And they tried to, but Flip would not let him have it. But he did let him have it. And so this is about, this isn't as long as the last time, but I want you to listen what Flip said to city council last week and see if this makes your heart beat as fast as my heart beat. Hey, Chris, you're going to love this. This is our man, Flip. He's the top three bravest men I've ever met in my life. So here's Flip just last week again, second time at the city council. Go ahead and crank that up there, Jared.
Fort Benham, welcome.
Thank you. Here's a word. It's a good word.
Media.
It's the best word you're going to hear because it comes right from the Word of God. See how the faithful city has become a harlot. She was once full of justice and righteousness that used to dwell in her. But now, murderers, your silver has become dross, your choice wine diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, companions of thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. Therefore, the Lord Almighty has spoken to you on July 25th these very words that if you continue this rebellion against Almighty God, blood is going to course down the corridors of our schools, our workplaces, and our streets. You need to turn back to Him. It is you that unleashed hell in our city when you tried to say that boys and girls are not that. You did it. Now repent, Jennifer Roberts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if He doesn't fix us, there's no National Guard, no Department of Justice that can fix us. Because there is not an army big enough to make a man do what is right. But there is a king named Jesus that if He gets in the heart of that young man, He will set him free. And instead of laying everybody else's life down, He will lay His life down for others. That is the truth.
Henry,
next look at the media.
Henry,
I don't think Flip went there to dialogue. You understand? That's what I love about the guy. He goes, he delivers the mail, he speaks the oracles of God. Thus saith the Lord. And I just wanted to share that with you. That actually, Flip's right now is in Africa, I think. He's going to be at our Pass the Salt, our boot camp. Flip's going to be one of the speakers at our boot camp. So I hope my wife's not trying to get into the restroom, because if she is, she's going to be in trouble here for about an hour. We're not going to let her in here. Anybody, any reaction there to what old Flip said? Nope. You guys all hearing me?
Yes.
Okay, because everybody looks like they're frozen on me. Thanks, Jared. Thanks. Okay, listen. Okay, great, great. Hey, Steve, I'm going to turn to my buddy Steve Minking, because I was just checking a video out here on the internet. This critical day, folks, September 30th. October 1st is the fiscal year reset. I don't know if you know that or not. Deutsche Bank in Germany is about to go under. It's about to go under. In fact, I was just reading that if Deutsche Bank is not bailed out by the government, it is going to cause a cascade of bank failures that the world has never seen. Now, the German government can still bail them out, which will buy them some time. But we're sitting at the precipice of some unbelievable financial times. Guys, listen, I'm giving you a warning. Get yourself some food. Get yourself some stuff. Just, I'm telling you, do that. And then the second thing that's really kind of critical, nobody said much about it, is the Senate, 99-1, and the House of Representatives, about 380-60 or something like that. Those numbers probably aren't right, but something in that neighborhood, overrode a veto of President Obama in regards to people having the right to sue Saudi Arabia in regards to 911. Now, we know listen, if someone can sue Saudi Arabia on 911, do you understand the discovery that they're going to be able to ask for? Can you even begin to understand where this thing's going to go? Now, here's the critical issue here, and I'm going to let Steve maybe address this a little bit more, but let's not be ignorant of what's going on. Saudi Arabia's ticked. They are ticked because their tentacles run deep into 911 and what went on there. And they're deep into our government, deep, deep, deep into it. And so they're really, really ticked. And what we're going to see happen, I believe, is a change in the petrodollar. And what's the petrodollar? Well, the petrodollar, the United States, about 40 years ago, when oil crisis was the beginning, they set up the petrodollar, which meant this. Anybody who wanted to buy oil from Saudi Arabia in the Middle East for the OPEC had to use the American dollar to do it. The oil was priced in American dollars. Well, that's why we went off the gold standard and we went on to the oil standard. Nobody really said that, but that's what it was. Oil became the underwriter of the dollar. And so now we've been watching the price of oil go down. This is causing chaotic events in the world in regards to oil and oil prices, because remember, now it's a currency backer, oil is. And we're going to see that Saudi Arabia probably may throw a temper tantrum with us and say, okay, hey, listen, we're no longer taking the American dollar as the reserve currency. No longer. It's not going to be the dollar anymore. There could be dire consequences to what just happened with the overriding of that veto, which needed to happen, by the way, and what's going on in the Deutsche Bank. And Steve, there in Manhattan, fill us in a little, Steve. I may have been kind of clumsy with how I described what was going on, but I tried to set you up a little bit so everybody would not going to be surprised. Because, listen, hey, guys, if a bank fails, let's say the Deutsche Bank fails, the world's not going to stop tomorrow, but it's going to become a trickle. It's going to be a trickle. And if we watch this and Deutsche Bank goes down, this is going to be a week, 10 days, 2 weeks. This cascading is going to begin to happen. Steve, try to clarify or clear up my own ignorance, but that's the way that I understand it.
Well, Coach, I think you're right on in terms of the broad brushstrokes that are going on here. There are so many different angles to this that I'm not going to be able to speak to everything in full detail. But suffice it to say, there are some very high-level, very intense meetings going on behind closed doors, and this is going to be a very long weekend if there isn't some sort of resolution, particularly to the Deutsche Bank situation. First, before I get into that, and I'm going to try and keep this to like five minutes or so that
take
you guys can
as
ask questions.
Take as much as no, yeah, it's pretty critical. Stay there.
So, first things first, that 97-1 veto override, I'm going to give you a list of senators who did not vote or who voted against it. The person who voted against it was none other than Harry Reid, and two people did not vote, Tim Kaine and Bernie Sanders, to the best of my knowledge. Just food for thought there. But Saudi Arabia has said that if this goes through, then they will sell all their U.S. debt. Now, Saudi Arabia has said one thing and then done another thing before. It's sort of usual to get that kind of discrepancy between talk and action. However, there are various things that Saudi Arabia has been doing, such as meeting with Russia to sort out bilateral oil trade deals. They did that at the G20 earlier this month. And it's extremely critical because, as you mentioned, Coach, it's right there with the petrodollar system. The reason why the U.S. dollar is the global reserve currency is because of the petrodollar agreement from the early 70s. I won't get into all the background on that just because we don't have time, and I want to touch on Deutsche Bank.
Steve, if I can stop you right there real quickly.
Go right ahead.
Folks, please understand this. With all the oil pipelines and all that stuff that they've been vetoing here in America, we could be oil independent in the United States. Easily, we could become oil independent. But see, behind the scenes, they don't want that to happen because of our agreements with Saudi Arabia and everything that's going on in the Middle East. Everything is so interconnected and so devious and so demonic that would blow our mind if we could be able to see what's really going on behind the scenes. Go ahead, Steve.
That's 100% right, Coach. We do have availability of energy independence if we have the right policy and we have the will to actually do it. It's not that hard. In fact, it's very easy. You just have to remove the impediments. And in general, focusing back in on Deutsche Bank, it's very important for us to understand that over the past several decades, everyone in the world financial spectrum has viewed Germany as a safe haven. The Germans, they're responsible. They have good banks, everything's solid, they don't take risks, and so you're perfectly fine parking your money with them. And as a result, every single bank in the entire world that is large does business with Deutsche Bank in one form or another. And the primary area of business at this point is derivative contracts. And so what we could be looking at is a situation similar to what happened with Lehman Brothers 8 years ago. And long story short, what happened there in the immediate, I'm not trying to explain it, but, you know, it's too long of a story. But what happened there in the immediate term was that everyone, their perception switched and they didn't have confidence, and so they weren't willing to lend. And that meant that the credit cycle stopped. And the credit cycle is what runs everything. In order for a product to go from, let's say, an ear of corn, to go from a field to a processed food product on your table, it takes, you know, almost a dozen iterations of credit, loans upon loans upon loans, to keep things moving from transport to
the corn
all the
picker, the corn picker, the corn processor, the guy who delivers the corn, the guy who unloads the corn, the guy who stores the corn. Those are the transactions that take place.
That's correct. And so the financial system is what routes all these transactions. And as soon as that liquidity dries up, liquidity just means cash, the ability to pay, the ability to make good your contracts and your debts that you owe. As soon as that dries up the way it did when Lehman went under, then all bets are off in terms of who can pay who and who is who's actually alive. So the analogy to Lehman strengthened remarkably over the course of this past week because of comments that their CEO has made. I wrote an article about this. You can find it on the Hagman Report or on my WordPress at Amateur Society. And it's just called Deutsche Bank Code Blue. The reason why I'm mentioning this is not because I'm trying to plug my material, but because that goes into a bit more detail on this. But long story short, over the course of this past year, Deutsche Bank has fired thousands of people, gone through a couple different CEO transitions, admitted to rigging the precious metals market. And that was, you know, that was all in the spring, in the early part. Then it was kind of quiet over the summer. And then when September came around, things started to get a little bit hairy. So at the beginning of this month, they failed to deliver physical gold on a contract. And that's bad because, why would they breach contract if they had the gold and they were able to deliver it? So questions started being asked. And then the U.S. Department of Justice threw out a $14 billion number for a fine for Deutsche Bank to settle various banking improprieties dating back about a decade. Suspicious timing, suspicious number. It was nothing binding, but even that word sent the stock moving a little bit lower because that's how much the company's worth. So there's not much left over there in Deutsche Bank in terms of market value. To give you a sense of perspective, Deutsche Bank is worth less than Twitter. And if Deutsche Bank goes down, the whole thing goes down. So then what happened after that is that there's now a lot of communication on a high level from the German government, with Angela Merkel saying, no, Deutsche Bank is not getting a bailout. That's where the government sort of just gives them a bunch of money and then everything gets papered over. She said they're not getting a bailout until after the next election in Germany in next September. And then the CEO came out and said, everything's fine. But of course, that's what the CEO of Lehman Brothers said, because they have no alternative. They have no alternative because if he says, yeah, we're in trouble, then people are going to go get their money out, and that's going to exacerbate the problem. Yes.
It's happening, is it not, Steve? They are withdrawing their money now.
It is, and I'll explain a little bit of nuance to that that will be helpful. So the point is, he has to lie. And we know that this is true, and it's a particular pattern. European Commissioner, the President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, famously opposing Nigel Farage all throughout the Brexit vote and the rest of it, he said, and this is a direct quote, "When it gets serious, you have to lie." So it's no wonder why people don't take these people seriously. But what happened yesterday was that around the middle of the day, there was a report that hedge funds and big institutional investors were pulling their money out of Deutsche Bank. Because last time this happened with Lehman Brothers, people had their money in the bank and they got stuck. It got stuck there for a couple of years going through an elongated and bankruptcy process. So people are wary of that. And they figure, why would I do business here when I could do business anywhere else? However, that is less than 10% of the assets. The difference between Deutsche Bank and Lehman is that Deutsche Bank is also just a regular bank. People have their deposits in there. It would be like Bank of America or Citibank or Chase or any one of those. The real signal will be if depositors start pulling their money. And the stock, if you see Deutsche Bank in single digits, then that should set off warning bells. What should you do in a case of a bank run like this? Get out of the theater doors first, because it's going to be a lot of people trying to squeeze out of a small opening. So, you know, make sure that you have cash on hand. Don't go down there and empty your accounts right out, because they'll file a suspicious activities report and then you got to deal with the government. But, you know, make sure you get as much out of the system as possible. That's just a general thing. But in the near term, make sure that you have what you need in case the supply lines go down for a day or even a week.
So, Steve, even right now, every guy on this queue, if you don't have a couple thousand dollars at your house for expenses, you ought to go today and get a couple thousand dollars out to weather. If it would be a short storm, that you'd be able to weather that. You would amen that, wouldn't you, Steve?
I would. Don't put that amount too high, because they'll start looking at you funny, like anyone who wants their own money is a criminal. That's what got Kent Hovind in trouble. This structuring charges, and it's all kind of arbitrary. But the moral,
so Steve, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If somebody lives off of the ATM. That's not good. Have a little bit of cash. If the ATM were to put a freeze or whatever, that you have some cash at home for your expenses for probably a month is what I would say.
Yeah. Without going into too much detail, it would be perfectly prudent to have enough cash on hand to cover a month. I tend to skew a little bit more.
Are you guys hearing that? We're warning all of you. Now, this is a warning. You don't have to do it. This is just prudent. Keep your lamps trimmed. This is just prudent to do this.
I tend to cover a little bit more than 1 month's expense, just because what are you getting with your money in a savings account? 0.015 APR. I think I got an interest payment last year on a decent amount of money for like a buck, like literally a buck. I was like, you know. My rent went up way more than that, so it's certainly not keeping pace. So in practical terms, watch for reports of lines at Deutsche Bank. There are lines at Deutsche Bank in particular today, then you know it's incumbent upon you to make sure that you have the heads up so that you can get out there and do what you need to do just in case the supply lines close down. Doesn't mean that they will. It doesn't mean that it's immediate. But we're looking at a situation that is very tentative. This is a situation that I haven't seen in all of my sort of quote-unquote professional finance career, even though I'm not in that field anymore. But ultimately, this weekend also includes when the Chinese yuan goes online in the IMF SDR basket. There are several major events that are all lining up right together. And it's also worth noting that it's a holiday for the banks on Monday. So, you know, if you see that they're not able to open the stock markets on Monday, then you know that something's really up. But I would advise you to this weekend make some practical decisions about having enough resources on hand so that you don't have to go back into the banking system to perform your daily transactions. You should be able to cover yourself.
Before I open this up maybe you guys want to ask Steve a question or two. Let me, Sarge, I'm going to kind of throw this your way, or even Steve Denson up there. Listen, we are perfectly set up for a false flag. We are perfectly, you say, what's a false flag? A false flag is a government-initiated crisis. Whether it would be an EMP, whether it would be another bombing, that we are perfectly set up to divert the attention of the American people from what is going on. Just even look at what's going on with Hillary. When Hillary got sick, right, she collapsed all of a sudden. What happened? Boom. Why, my goodness, we had a terrorist attack. And all of a sudden, the attention was diverted away from it. So we are in prime position for a false flag to occur that's going to try to divert our attention. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask Stephen in regards to this?
Steve.
I hear you.
Go, Raj. Go ahead, Raj.
The question I have ties into a little bit into this. Let's assume there's problems. Would you not agree that the reset is coming one way or another?
I would agree. It's really a question of timing. Something that can't last forever won't. But you know, when I was looking at the monetary policy and everything that was going on, I figured people would figure it out like years ago, but they didn't. But people are more awake to it now.
I'm going to assume real estate is going to be becoming less valuable or than more valuable if there's problems. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that is a fair assessment. You could say that productive real estate, such as farmland or something else, at various points would actually go up in value because people would flee to that kind of asset as opposed to just having money in stocks and bonds. However, generally, the value of real estate is dependent on the functioning of the financial system. And as that, if credit seizes up, you know, people aren't paying cash for homes. And so if people need, I'm glad you brought this up, Roger, because this is part of the reason why people get hung out to dry and totally destroyed by the ups and downs of the financial cycle. Because when people are pressed for cash, when they have bills to pay and things are down, and you know, maybe they lost a job, and this is a familiar circumstance, if you need money, then you have to get it. And so that's when people will sell their homes for, you know, or sell other assets for pennies on the dollar.
I know some of you have a question. Let me throw this out here to you as well, guys. Those of you, there are a lot of people who are invested in precious metals, which I believe precious metals are going to hold their value and it's going to go up. But hear me. Many people are invested in precious metals in paper only. Guys, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. If you have a paper that says that you have $5,000 in gold and some whatever, and all you have is a paper, you don't have it. You don't have it. You understand? So this whole financial thing is such a house of cards for all of us that if you can't put your hands on it. See, you could have a coupon for a free meal. But if there ain't any food, you ain't getting a free meal. You understand? So you can have a coupon for gold, but if there ain't any gold, you're not getting it. And we're finding out that there is a lot more people who own paper gold and there ain't any gold. They got coupons for gold. They've invested in these coupons for gold, but they don't have the gold. And unless you have the actual metal itself, you don't have anything. Somebody else down here was going to ask a question. Was it you, Jared? I thought maybe was signaling a question.
Yeah, well, just my thoughts on, Stephen, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, it's in a collapse at this point, what we're talking about is almost more like it's not whether you'll make money or anything on this downturn. It's you'll just be the last one standing, kind of, right? If you have precious metals, if you can function with cash, it's just that everybody else has so much debt that you're just the only one who doesn't, kind of.
I think that's a fair assessment, and it also is the right attitude. If we're taking tactical decisions about our portfolios, it should really be about preserving our purchasing power to make sure that our families, our children, our grandchildren have assets, and so it doesn't just get squandered or inflated away in terms of value. If it costs, you know, $50,000 to buy a loaf of bread, it doesn't matter how big your bank account is. So, you know, precious metals is about the preservation of purchasing power because they hold their value. Now, if you are a sophisticated investor, then yes, you can have a diversified portfolio and you actually can make money, quote unquote, make fiat money on it, though. But if you're not a professional, just follow Coach's advice. Get the physical stuff, have it in your possession so that there is no counterparty risk. Counterparty risk would be if I gave Jared $10,000 and said, here, hold on to this for me, and then he moved to Singapore, and then I said, hey, Jared, give me my money, and he said, no, you know, what am I going to do? It's going to be expensive for me to try and go over there and get it back. So, you know, ultimately you want to have, like Coach said, if you don't have it in your actual possession, if you don't have a real asset, something that's tangible, then you're subject to risk. You know, if you're looking for a way to transact using direct back gold, as opposed to just holding securities on some paper exchange, there actually is a way for you to do that now. If you're interested in doing the research, look at Gold Money or send me an email and we can talk about that. But you know, to keep it simple, you just want the actual thing.
Okay, Steve, I had somebody that who texted me here with a good question. Two questions. I'm going to add a second question to it. The first question is, what's the sign to look for that this thing's beginning? And second thing is, how long's the window, Steve? If we, let's say Deutsche Bank fails Monday, they don't open Monday. What's the window then before we're really going to see the impact of it here where we are?
So the key signal that I'm looking for is for Deutsche Bank stock to get into the single digits. That triggers a lot of complex financial things. Another signal to look for would be for the credit rating agencies to downgrade them, because that triggers the sale of a bunch of derivatives. Without getting into too much hullabaloo, the final signal that you could look for is pictures and footage of people lining up to get their money out of the bank.
Okay, so then what's the window then, Steve?
24 hours.
Wow.
I say that because if I say a week and it's 24 hours, then that's bad advice. Do it as soon as you can.
Steve, listen, I can't emphasize enough, and I know that you would amen this. These guys got to get some food. If you just go to your grocery store and buy some canned goods, buy some food that's going to last you for a week or a month, whatever, even if you just have to eat corn and pineapple, if you have canned goods, you are not going to starve. Guys, begin even this weekend to get some type of food pantry in your home that's going to be sustainable for you for a period of time. That includes water. Please don't take this lightly and don't let people make fun of you and call you a prepper and make it. Listen, they can make all the fun of me they want to. If something happens, my family's going to have some food to eat and we're going to have some water to drink. It's imperative that you do that. Take some money and go buy food. Food is never a waste of money. You will eventually eat it.
I would amen that, Coach. A general mindset would be to pick up a couple extra things every time you go. Now is a good time to make a special trip, particularly if you haven't done that already.
Dave?
Yes.
The other thing I might add, and you know, I'm not a Tea Party guy and I'm not a militia guy, I'm just a huddle guy. But I believe another area to diversify is in bullets, weapons, and guns. And I don't mean so much from a usage standpoint, but I believe, and I really think those things will hold their value if there's problem. There's going to be a need for those things, and people will trade for those things.
Amen. Amen.
And then the other thing we need to get lots of is toilet paper.
That's true. Hey, guys, listen to me. Please listen to me. We do maybe. The average person doesn't have any idea how critical a time in which we are living. We just don't have, I'm telling you, we just don't. The average person that you go to church with will probably laugh at you. There are members in your family who will probably laugh at you. You ought to hit your knees and thank the Lord that He has given you the ability to see what's happening, the ability to understand the need to get prepared, to get your lamps trimmed, to get some of those supplies that you might need. Let's say it's just a storm. If a storm comes and your power's out for 7 days, what are you going to be able to do? This isn't, guys. This is beyond tinfoil hat stuff. It is right before us. We are facing, come on, we are looking at a transfer of power in our government that we have never, ever seen before. And those who have the power now are going to do anything to make sure that they don't relinquish that power. I can't make it any more clear or any more urgent than that. Now is not the time to be asleep. Now is the time to be awake. Now is not the time to hit a month from now and say, daggone it, I should have listened. Now is the time. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the freaking truth. That's all I'm trying to do.
Amen, Coach. And I think it's very important for us to emphasize that this should not be a reason to panic. This should be a reason to pray.
Yes, sir.
We need to make sure that we are getting our specific direction from the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure that we can hear the voice of the Lord so that we are in a position to, when we see any of these triggers happen, you know, I don't know what the best plan for you is. I can generalize. I can, give advice. The Lord knows exactly what you need to do exactly in every situation. So it's time to make sure that we're in prayer, make sure that we're in the Word. Just make sure that our ears are open, because if we're spinning about, saying, woe is me, what can I do? Then with all the noise around us, we need to still be able to hear that still small
Amen.
Voice.
Amen.
And so that is absolutely critical.
Hey, guys, listen, my buddy Chad just texted me here, toilet paper. We laugh about that. When a crisis hits like this, their toilets aren't running, let your mind go wild, diseases, I mean, it's people die from this type of dysentery and that kind of stuff. So get some toilet paper and some hand cleaner and stuff like that. That's going to help. This sounds crazy, doesn't it? But this is where we are. Steve Denson.
Hey, Coach. I just want to add on, at least ask a question, add on. Some people like me who don't have all the excess funds, the wise decision for this moment right now would just kind of go on a little bit of faith and not get overwhelmed, but just grab a little extra also too on our end, and wisely invest in it, even when we don't have the extra finances.
Are you asking if we should?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, money's tight for some families.
Yeah, I understand. So, I would say yes. That would be my answer. Because here's the truth. If the credit goes down, it don't matter who you owe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure you have food and water for a week first, because it could be the kind of thing where it's temporary and then there's a measure. If don't worry about getting ready to bunker down for 6 years.
No, hey guys, listen.
Worry about a week.
Whether we know this or not, whether you want to admit it or not, if the world doesn't end, there's a currency reset coming. Okay, now here's how I see this whole thing playing out. Right now, you go to your bank. You don't have any money in the bank. You have digits. They've digitized everything. You don't have any money. There's no money in the bank. And so what they're going to do, this is the way I see the scenario playing out, is they're going to come up with this new plan. They're going to introduce this new currency reset. And they're going to say, here's what we're going to do. You bring in all your dollars. You bring in every dollar you have, and we're going to give you three times. You bring in a $10, and we're going to give you 30, whatever this new currency is. And people are going to do that, and they're going to run. They're going to give all that money, and everybody thinks everything's good. And the impact of that was the inflation that just happened is beyond what we can ever even imagine. So this currency reset that's coming is going to look like a savior, but it's going to be disastrous in the long run. Would you amen that, Steve, or have I missed that one?
I would amen that. It's extremely complicated. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I would say this. If you look at Venezuela, an ounce of gold buys a house, and an ounce of silver buys 3 or 4 months worth of food.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
That tells you something, doesn't it, guys?
It's probably more now.
Yeah, because why? In this world in which we live, with all these trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, who knows what anything's really worth? You know, I'm selling my house. You know what my house is worth, Roger? My house is worth what somebody will pay for it. That's what it's worth. What's a gallon of gas worth? Well, a gallon of gas is worth $50 if you're out of gas, stuck on the highway, out in the wilderness, and somebody comes by with a gallon of gas, say, how much you want for it? I'll give you $50. It's worth whatever someone will pay for it. And so all the evaluations and all of the, whether it be real estate and this is worth this much, and this is, it's all fake. It's all fake depending on the situation you're in. And what Steve just said and what Roger just said, it's possible the day will come that a .22 caliber shell might be worth $3. It might be something people will want that badly. Sarge, you weigh in here a minute for me, if you will. What's your take on this whole thing?
Well, I agree with what Stephen has covered. And the one thing that I keep wondering in my mind is if the elites think that Hillary is not going to win, because those internal polls right now show that may be the case.
They're 10. She's 10 points down in Florida. Did you know that? 10 points down in Florida. She has pulled out of Ohio. There's something going on. And I'm saying, as Kevin is saying, those elites are not going to take this lying down.
Right. So the question then becomes, what do they do that the nation's so riled up? And Obama can say, well, look, we're canceling the election, and or we're going into a martial law situation or something that just prevents from stepping into the limelight on election day. So that's my big fear.
The next 6 weeks are going to be something, aren't they, Steve?
They certainly will be. The next 6 hours could be something, Coach. You know, it's just that's just the time we're living in. And, you know, whatever happens, there's going to be some mess. There's going to be some pain for a lot of people, but it's an incredible opportunity. I think what we can see if we're looking through a Holy Spirit lens and we're seeing the potential harvest, when people go to the ATM and it doesn't work, they are going to start asking questions. First they're going to be angry, then they're going to be confused, then they're going to get to a place where they realize that they can't do it on their own. And that's when we're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel, share our resources, yep, and really bring a harvest into the kingdom. I'm fully convinced of that in my mind and in my heart, Coach.
Well, you know, we're promised in the book of Joel that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. There's an unbelievable revival coming. Unbelievable. We don't know how it's going to look. And I'm going to tell you this, a revival is not going to come to a people who are financially fat and sassy. They're just not going to. It tells us about the book of Revelation. Which church was it? Was it the church of Philadelphia, or was it the church of one of the churches? He said, you are rich and in need of nothing. And you don't understand that you're wretched and poor. Which church was that?
That's Laodicea.
Laodicea. Jared, see if you can find that, the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. And it's this ungodly affluence and the dependence of Americans on money, Americans in particular, Christian Americans, with the worship of money and the worship of comfort, that the only way that the Lord is going to be able to touch our hearts is to take away our money. It's a good thing. It ain't going to feel good, but it's a good thing. Jared's pulled that up there for me. Maybe I want to jump in here before I read this for us. Go ahead, Roger.
I've often shared a couple times Judges 11, and the name I would share sometimes with you and others was Jephthah.
Uh-huh.
And if you read Judges and you read about Jephthah, if I'm pronouncing it right, when all hell broke loose, they went for him for help and protection. And I think that's what Steve's highlighting too. There'll be opportunities for the gospel, but they will look for men who do not cower.
Amen.
Who have a stability in their faith. And that's one of the things we need to be doing, is strengthening our own personal faith. Things like the huddle help us so that when the tremors come, we don't fade away, but we're able to stand strong. And when they will turn to us, they will come to the men who are stable and are not cowering, who have a foundation that's built on a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Book of Revelation, Jared's got it up there. Revelation chapter 3. And I want to start with verse 13. Jared's got it at 14, which is okay. But I want you to understand this. Look at this. Verse 13, who he is directing the message to. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, right? Our church. I had lunch last night, dinner last night with Josh Tolley. Some of you know Josh, some of you don't know Josh. He blew me away. He said 1,000 churches a month are being foreclosed on in America. 1,000 churches a month. Because why? They've overextended. They've taken credit, all that stuff they're not supposed to do. So look what the Lord says here. Remember, guys, his chastening is love. It's always love. It's always love. And we sit around and we worry about, you know, golly, what if I don't have this? What if I don't have this? What if I don't have this? Lord said, man, there shouldn't be anything between us. Shouldn't be anything to. And if I got to pull those dollars out and I got to pull your comfort out to get to your heart, that's what I'm going to do. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write this, he says. These things saith the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Here's what he says to the church. I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Can somebody say amen about the American church?
Amen.
Neither cold nor hot. They're just there. They're just there. I wish that you were cold or hot, he says. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to spew you right out of my mouth. Why? Because you say, I am rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. And knowest not that I am wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Is that ever a picture, not only of America, but of the American church? That message, there it is, boys. And for real revival, revival ain't coming to rich people. Just telling you, he told us it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Think about that. Why? Because of your pride and your self-sufficiency and everything. Money's a really, really different thing, because you know what? For all of us, if I don't have any, I can go get some. I can go cut some wood. I can go catch some fish and sell them. We think that we are able to produce wealth, to produce money. Well, the day is coming when you're going to have to go catch that fish, to eat that fish. You ain't going to be selling it. You're going to catch it to eat it. And you're going to have to cut that wood, not to make money off of that wood, but to keep your fires burning so that you can cook. And this has to happen. It is the judgment of the Lord, but it's the love of the Lord. The scriptures say, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, he chastens. So he looks at us, he looks at the church, he loves the church, and he says, listen, you got too much stuff. This ain't going to work. You got a lot of stuff ahead of me, and I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you, and I want you to be able to enter the kingdom with me, but I got to get rid of some of that stuff. You got to get your mind right. Your mind ain't right now. And so let us not be discouraged or worried. Let's be prepared. Let's not be shocked when it happens. Let's be prepared. Anybody? No? Okay, Steve, anything else there? Now, that's really good, Steve. I'm glad you were here. I got a great thing I was going to share with you, but man, this is so, so timely. So timely. We're down here in Knoxville, Tennessee with, I had a guy sit at my table last night. It's a local guy, didn't know him. And he said, he said, I can't believe I'm sitting in this room. I can't believe it. That all these guys that I've listened to and heard and read their stuff, they're here. They're sitting right here in this room. I said, brother, listen, ain't nothing special about anybody sitting in this room. Ain't nothing special. It's a gift. The Lord's given them a gift. Listen, here, listen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Scripture tells us that the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. Meaning, he's gifted you and he's not taking it back. He ain't taking it back. Now we have to ask ourselves, why has he gifted you? What is the purpose of your gift? I was talking to somebody who's working for a minister who was behind the scenes. This famous minister was a real person. You know what I'm saying? You follow me around. Don't put me on no pedestal. You follow me around. I'm a real guy. And so is every pastor. You name them. They're real people. Ain't nothing special about them. They sit on the toilet in the morning like everybody else. And so this person said to me, Coach Dave, I'm around. I can't believe the stuff I see behind the scenes. And then I watched this guy. He gets up in the pulpit. And my goodness, the anointing of God that comes out of him. Coach, what's going on? How can he live like this behind the scenes and have this when he steps into that pulpit? I says, well, it's very simple. It's a gift. And the gift isn't his. God gave him that gift for the edifying of the body. See, his gift is God's gift to the body. It's irrevocable. And even though he may be living an ungodly lifestyle, it will be exposed. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. But the Lord is not taking that gift back. He will be accountable and responsible for the Lord of what he did with that gift. So tomorrow I get to open up today. I'm sorry. I get to open up this thing at 1:30. They're giving me an hour and a half to speak. I am so confident because you know why? It ain't about me. The Lord has given me this gift and he's put me in front of these people and I get to share this gift that he's given for the edifying of the body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? But see, what happens is those who are will be watching me when I'm performing my gift are going to think that there's something special about me when there isn't anything special about me. I have a special gift. And where did this special gift come from? It came from the Lord. And as long as I'm using the gift, he will continue to bless and smile upon that gift. So whoever your favorite preacher is, your favorite radio star, they're just people operating with a gift. Quit idolizing them. Quit thinking there's something special. They're just a person that the Holy Spirit It's just a donkey, man. It's just a donkey that the Holy Spirit is moving through. Yes, honor the gift. Yes. But don't put it up on a pedestal. Don't do that. Don't idolize them and follow them around. Don't do that. Don't do that. Chase the gift giver. The gift giver. He's the one that you ought to idolize and emulate and try to follow. I'm going to get up there and the Holy Spirit's going to flow out of me and it's going to be powerful. But it's a glorification of my Father. And Russ Dizdar is going to get up there and he's going to talk about MK Ultra's mind control. And it's not about Russ Dizdar. Russ Dizdar probably has body odor too. It's a gift and he's exercising his gift and using his gift. Stop doing that. Stop making yourself a star. You're not. You're not. Y'all got a gift. Everybody's got a gift. And how is it the Lord would have us to use it? Some of our gifts are more public. Some of our gifts are more private. But they're one body, many members. We all play a role in this thing that's going on. I don't know what else to say. How much time do I have? Anybody want to piggyback on that?
Well, sure, Coach. You know, we're not famous, and we're not in it to exalt ourselves. But we do have a famous Father, and surprisingly, there's some people who still don't know about him, still don't know about his son. So that's our job, and perhaps
Matthew 5, Jared. Go ahead, be Matthew 5 ready, real quick, Jared. I want to show him. You're right, Steve.
Perhaps we were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this.
Amen. I know I was, brother. I was talking about that last night. All those saints that came before us, Scripture says, encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. People are watching and cheering on. Man, oh man, I'm going to show you something here, though. I want you to show it. Don't miss this. It's Matthew 5, verse 13. Now, you guys know this. The salt of the earth verse. It's my life verse. But I want you to see something here. Verse 13. 5:13. Jesus says this, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith it shall be salty, it's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Now watch, you are the light of the world. See, we say Jesus is the light of the world, don't we? Huh? No, he says you are. Him shining through you, that's the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. Neither do men have a gift and put it under a bushel basket. No. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Stay with me. So let your light so shine before men. Let your gift so shine before men that they may see your good works and look what happens. And glorify your Father in heaven. You exercising your gift glorifies your Father in heaven. Isn't that unbelievable? When you get thinking it's about you, then you ain't glorifying your Father that's in heaven. When you start at, well, you guys know where I am, know where I'm going on it. So not what I had planned today. In fact, I got a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to want to tune in on Monday because I'm going to dive into it on Monday. I'm going to get in a little bit more to this race thing because I asked yesterday, if you remember, are Jews a race or a religion? Are they a race and a religion or a religion? Well, we have to ask ourselves another question. What's a race? What makes something a race? And aren't we the human race? So again, we find, it's like I was talking with a guy at the table last night. He says, you know what I find out? He says, I uncover a lie and I peel back a lie. And now I think I've got it all figured out. And then I realize there's just another lie laying under that one. And I get under that one and I peel it back and there's another lie laying under that one. That so much of what we've been told is not the truth. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth and that we are going to be able to take the truth that the Lord has given and share it with others. Share it with others. I'm so grateful to God. It's almost a curse for the gift he's given me. I'm so grateful for it. So grateful for my ability to be able to communicate. Hey guys, it's otherworldly. It ain't me. I used to sit down and memorize statistics, baseball games. What this guy's batting average was and how many RBIs he had. I took my gift and I gave it back to the Lord, and now he gives me scriptures and explanations of scriptures and understanding that I never had before. Behold, all things become new when you become a Christian. Steve, God bless you, man. Thanks for all the information you brought to us today. I'll be home on Monday. How do you like it here? First broadcast ever from a bathroom. My wife knocked on the door. She was mad at me. She had to go down 9 floors to the lobby to go to the potty. But I think we'll still be lovers, friends, when it's all over. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you on Monday morning.